This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
You're invited to take control of the airwaves, 603-283-6160, if you would like to do that. Again, the number is 603-283-6160, and with you tonight, it's Aria.
Nikki.
And Bonnie is with us. She has stepped out for a moment, but she will be back. I'm going to tell you about our TikTok, because we are still doing that. You can find it at tiktok.freetalklive.com. That's TIKTOK.freetalklive.com. The most recent video there, I think, was one where Ian and I had a conversation with Mark. And again, I would like the TikTok not to be like just episodes of me, but that tends to be what it is because I tend to be the one making the clips. And I'm on these episodes, so I can write down a good timestamp to look for a clip, right?
And it's honestly hard for me to listen to every episode that I'm not on because it's just like it's in my house, so I can literally hear the people talking, and it's just like I have other podcasts I want to listen to, too. So yes. I understand that.
I'm kind of counting on the other hosts to be like, hey, look, Aria, this night, Thursday night at 7:30, there was a really funny line that was said, so I can go back and copy that. But so far, it hasn't happened.
I thought there would be good ones Sunday, Nikki, if you wanted to.
Yeah, honestly, the entire show on Sunday is just hilarious.
And lots of, like, younger people have said that, or somebody called in and said that their kid's favorite day is Sunday because of Captain Kickass.
Nice. So that's tiktok.freetalklive.com. We do have some videos there. Some of them are pretty entertaining. We've been talking about drag queens here tonight because that subject is just such a hot topic for people. And I don't know why. I don't understand why people are so upset about it. But they are. They love talking about it.
I don't think they're that upset. I think they're extremely excited because they're like, finally, nobody can tell me anymore that as a libertarian, I can't be against gay rights because it doesn't hurt me. Oh, it doesn't affect me. Nobody can give me that line anymore. I'm going to say it affects the children and nobody can stop me.
It's so hard for me to believe that people still feel that way.
They do, though. And this whole drag queen hysteria, it's just a new version of the same old, well, we got to protect the children from the gays. They're going to come up and have gay sex on our porch and it's going to corrupt our kids and our family, our way of life. It's that same crap trotted out, put on new makeup for the year 2020 or 2022, whatever year it actually is.
I mean, I think there was a Disney movie recently. I don't know too much about this, but I heard that there was a Disney movie recently where there was a gay couple, and they had the audacity, Disney had the audacity for this couple to kiss.
Wait, they did. There was a lesbian kiss scene, right?
Yeah.
That was it one of the Toy Stories? Why am I thinking it was Toy Story?
I don't know what it was, but, you know, it's disgusting, an abomination.
Wasn't it Elsa? From Frozen? I don't know. No, because Frozen 2 I saw. I don't know.
No, they're sisters. That takes it to a whole new level.
No, someone I met.
It is absolutely amazing, though, that these people will see that, and they will say that it's grooming.
But when straight people do it,
right?
Like, oh, no, yeah.
Right, they have entire plots dedicated to the relationship between a man and a woman. And that's not grooming. It's not grooming for you to be like, oh, look at the little handsome five-year-old. He's going to be such a ladies' man. He's so cute. That's not grooming or creepy or weird at all. But having these lesbians kiss in this kids' movie, that's grooming.
Well, Aria, I don't know if you knew this, but if children see gay people, they will automatically be gay. That's how it works. You know, that's just how it works.
That's what Jeremy Kaufman has said to me. He said that if
he knows better than that.
He said that if he has an opportunity to keep his kids from not needing glasses, then he's going to take it. And he says it's the same thing with not showing his kids drag queens because they may end up gay. They said
what?
That to me.
That's not how it works.
On Twitter.
Was he just trolling on Jeremy?
I hope so.
Jeremy's smarter than that, right? He knows. He's bound to know that you can't, that it doesn't work that way. What? And I don't understand how the glasses thing happened. I'd have to see this tweet. Not because I don't trust you or whatever. I'm trying to parse it, and I process things better visually than
ago,
I do by hearing it.
And I would like to be able to give exact yeah. quotes, so maybe like on the next break, if you want, I'll pull it up.
Yeah, that'd be great, because I read things a lot better than I hear things. And I hear that, and I'm like, I can't even begin to understand what he was trying to say. But even then, I mean, there are a lot of conservatives who have that sort of mentality, which is, I did a spoof on this because one of my friends received this thing in the mail, this mailer that was like, are you aware of what they're putting in your kids' libraries? And it's about what the public library at the school has in its, you know, catalog. And it was just some books, like, this book is gay. I can't remember the other examples, but I still have it at home in my fridge because it's really, really, really funny. And these people were just flipping out about this. And you know what? It was some crazy conservative who did it. But, like, what do these people, is that really what they think? That they, all of their upbringing of their children, their traditional family values, all of that can be completely undone by the sight of one man wearing a dress?
Well, and they literally think that being gay is a new thing. Like, you know, being gay was invented in the 80s. No one was ever gay before that.
They certainly did that about being trans.
Yeah, now there's something in the water. It's making everybody gay. It's making the frogs gay. That's literally what they think. But in reality, people have been gay since the beginning of time. The only difference was in a lot of cultures and in a lot of societies, people were murdered for being gay, and that's why they just hid it. They did it behind closed doors. Now we live in a society, thankfully, where you're much less likely to be attacked for being who you are.
If you want to look at it, you can now.
Absolutely, thank you.
You can just scroll down and see the entire conversation all the way to the glasses and everything. But yeah, I agree that homosexuality is not a new thing, and I think that people in the like really olden days just completely had to hide being gay. One of my friends pointed out, how do we know that everybody who was just like, that's fine, I'll be a eunuch or a clerk who never gets married, wasn't just gay and would rather be alone than date a woman?
Well, and like,
I can't read all of this at the moment. I would love to, but I can't do it while we're in the middle of the show. Not unless I read it on the air, and I wasn't sure I wanted to get into all of that.
Yeah.
So I certainly do think that, you know, there's something that's making people gay or trans or whatever, and it's such an interesting inability for them it's such an inability of them to see the forest for the trees or to see the trees for the forest or whichever one of those is actually appropriate, because it's like the left-handed thing all over again. Through a lot of Western society's history, they punish people for trying to write with their left hand, and they force them to be right-handed.
They would, hit them with rulers and tie their hand behind their back.
And then suddenly they stopped doing that, and they go, wow, 10% of the population is left-handed. This is new. But it's not new. You just stopped punishing people for being left-handed, and suddenly you learned that a lot of people were actually left-handed.
I mean, and even in a lot of ancient civilizations, it wasn't really, like, normalized for people to be gay, but it was just like, oh, yeah, sometimes boys just, you know, boys will be boys, and sometimes they just kiss each other and whatever, but then they grow up, and then they pick a wife, and then, you know, then they stop doing that. But
it was Puritanism and Christianity that destroyed a lot of this in Western society, and if anything, Christianity has a lot of sins to answer for to the judge of human history.
I mean, Christianity and Catholicism ruined a lot of good things and punished people for, you know, it completely destroyed a lot of civilizations in a lot of different cultures.
Yeah, if you look at a lot of these cultures, like, being gay was not that weird. There were tribes in, I want to say it was Africa, I don't remember this. When I was debating gay marriage in high school, this was something that came up. So forgive me for not remembering the details about something that happened such a long time ago. But, like, there was at least one tribe, maybe it was New Guinea, where it was just customary to have gay relations, like, particularly before a battle. It made them stronger, they believed, to be gay. Before they took part in a battle against other people. And it's like, that was customary. And then, of course, you have the ancient Greeks who were very gay.
Yeah.
You had, I think, the Romans who had something very similar, but I think they were called catamites. I don't remember the specific style. Maybe that was also the Greeks. I don't remember. But the Romans were also pretty gay. They were all pretty gay back then. And it wasn't until Christianity came along that people were like, hey, this gay thing, that's not good. Look what it says here in the Bible. And I don't know if I necessarily buy into it or not, but I've heard the argument put forward that the reason Christianity and Judaism, they take this hard position against everything that isn't procreation. They demonize homosexuality explicitly, and they demonize masturbation explicitly, where all of these things are just condemned outright as evil. And it's because if the way the person put it, a warmongering tribe in the Middle Ages or in the Iron Ages, the most important thing for them would be to replenish their numbers, because they're constantly at war with one another. And if they're doing these things that aren't procreating, they're not replenishing
Wasting
their
time
numbers.
Making babies.
Yeah. Right. So they should be making babies instead of having gay sex or, you know, exploring other avenues for release.
They can do both, but whatever.
Yeah, that was what this person put forward. I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but it was one of the more rational explanations I've ever heard for, just think about it. Why does the Bible take such a hard stance against everything that isn't normal straight sex?
So I've heard before that the Bible was mistranslated, and really what it was supposed to say in the Bible was not to lay with boys.
Yeah, I've heard
that. So it was more condemning pedophilia, not being gay. It was like, hey, stop molesting children.
And that could very well be true, but I can't read the ancient Hebrew to find it.
The only thing that's weird about that to me is, why do they explicitly say that you can have sex with, like, prepubescent girls when you take down this specific village and stuff?
Yeah, the Bible, it's really horrific.
Yeah.
I remember when I ran for sheriff, someone was like, this poor soul, and they sent me a Bible in the mail. And I know, right? And for a while, it just sort of sat there, and I was like, what can I do with this Bible? So I ended up doing satanic Bible studies with it, and that was a lot of fun. And one day, those will come back, because it was a lot of fun, but I'm not drinking anymore. And part of what made that so entertaining was that I was drinking wine the whole time, and just ranting, giving these religious sermons about why the Bible was wrong about theft or whatever. But I just flipped to a random page in it, and on that random page was a little story about 180,000 Assyrians that God killed, just because.
And for those, like a nice guy.
Yeah, for those who don't know, this is an important bit of throwaway storytelling here, because the Assyrians were the ones who figured out that you could take iron and make it into a sword. And if you don't know this, bringing an iron sword to a sword fight where the other guy has bronze, it means you win every single time. They can't do anything to you, and you will slice right through their thing. Because iron is just that much more powerful than copper or bronze. So, and the Assyrians were the ones who figured out how to turn iron into weapons. So that was the whole thing, and that was why the Assyrians were specifically mentioned as being smote there by God, because they had the iron weapons. And whether the Jews actually won that battle or not is kind of immaterial, but they were making the case that the reason they were able to overcome these devastating weapons was with the help of God. But yeah, just 180,000 dead Assyrians just randomly. One of my favorites is, I think it was Elijah the prophet. He went into a city, if I recall correctly, I may be wrong, and there some kids laughed at him, and he wasn't happy about this. They laughed at him being bald. They said, ha ha, bald man, shiny head, or whatever. And for that, he brought down the curse of God against them, these little kids. And he said, well, you're going to suffer for that. I got you. God, get them. And God killed them. He sent what they described in the Bible as a she-bear, a bear, an actual bear, like, roar, out of a cave to go and kill and eat these kids for calling this dude bald. And that's a good story. They're like, yeah, go God. Well, your God just, like, he sent a bear to eat these little kids for making fun of this bald guy. And I don't know how to tell you this, but that's kind of disproportionate to the offense here.
In some, okay, so a little more woke Christians will believe that the Old Testament was like an archon god, and the New Testament is Jesus. So like in Gnosticism, the archons were just like these lesser gods who technically ruled over the earth and stuff, but they're really basically like kind of bad spirits. They're imperfect. They're not the true God. And one day the true God sent Jesus and was like, no, you're going to listen to my rules now instead of the old rules. So that's what some like more woke people say. Mm. But the thing about it is like, even in the New Testament. So that's why, like, sometimes
Gnostics weren't the only ones who believed that. There was another sect of early, they weren't Christians, but there was another sect of early believers who believed something different. Mark was the one who told me about their existence. I can't remember now what they're called.
And the thing is, like, I can get behind that in a sense, and I like the idea that Jesus was a teacher, and he kind of went against a lot of the stuff that the people who were only Old Testament, all Old Testament, taught. But it's just so weird to me that Jesus, just for fun, sent some demons out of some people, put them into some villagers' pigs, and the pigs ran off a cliff and died, and the villagers all came and begged Jesus to leave because they didn't have food for the next year. That's like anti-property rights. Why would Jesus put them into the pigs? Jesus could easily tell them to go to hell or whatever.
Yeah, that's weird. I've never really thought about why Jesus would have sent them into the pigs. Well, let's go to the phones. We have Chuck on the line from Washington. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live. Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. I was trying to get squared away here because I was raised in the church, and a lot of the things that we're talking about here, I've struggled with too. When we're talking about Christianity and these people that, particularly the people that want to involve politics with their Christianity, okay? And they want to take, let's say, abortion. Okay? Jesus didn't really talk about abortion, whether you like it or not.
Right.
But for somehow, some way, we've gotten to this area where we need to, you know, let me ask you this. Can you ask Jesus into your heart if you don't have a brain?
I've never been entirely clear on what that means. I mean, I'm from the South, right?
What does it mean that if you're talking about abortion, for example, and I'm going to rail on this because this is the most in-your-face issue that I struggle with as a Christian, and I'm sitting there looking at it saying, Jesus didn't talk about abortion, but you're talking about some references to the Old Testament that Jesus pretty much laughed at. And said, no, I am the only way to God. So these people are sitting there railing on this abortion issue, and they say 18 days after conception, you've got a heartbeat. So can you,
well,
you don't have a brain.
Didn't Christ say that he wasn't here to repeal the law, he was here to fulfill it, referring to the old Judaic law? So he didn't laugh at those laws and said they weren't valid anymore or anything like that. He said, yeah, those are all still correct.
I don't know. I think that when he said he fulfilled it, he could have been saying, like, now those things are atoned for. You don't have to live every single day making sure you stick to the law anymore because I died for your sins. And I wish more Christians thought of it that way.
But in that case, what's the point of morality? Like, yeah, Chuck, you mentioned accepting Jesus into your heart, and I've never been too clear on exactly what that means. And what's if my sins are forgiven, then why do I have to do anything? They're just forgiven, right?
I guess it's your soul, and they conflate the soul with the heart, and so your soul is your heart. And then, of course,
do I like leave a plate of cookies and milk out for him when I invite him in?
Right.
I mean, what is the logistics here? I don't know that I do.
I don't. And this is where I've really had a struggle with in my growth in this whole Christianity thing, along with the whole political thing. Okay, and there's several other stuff. You're talking about pedophilia. Jesus is the one that told us that anybody that tries to entice the little ones into sin are better to have a weight wrapped around their neck and thrown to the ocean. This is what he told us.
And see, that's another thing that makes me think that Jesus was anti the Old Testament, because the Old Testament, you know, Archon God said you can have sex with whatever little girl you want in this village because I'm giving them to you.
As long as they weren't Israelites, right? Because that was always the thing, and that's still the argument that Christians use, is that all of those arguments about slavery and the child rape, they weren't talking about the Israelites. Those were other people.
Yeah,
I know, but that's what they say, and they somehow think, well, somehow that makes it not as bad, right?
And then you have this whole thing about now you get really want to get weird? Read Ezekiel 9, and we'll talk about, like, people's preconceived text for drive-by shootings and school shootings. If you read Ezekiel 9, you'll be like, whoa, what am I reading here?
What's it about?
Yeah, I've never read Ezekiel 9, so what's it about?
Well, just an overview. It's a prophet. It's in the Old Testament. It's a prophet that was sent out to go write down everything he saw. And the prophet saw God telling these people to take every stabbing weapon that you have and go kill everybody in the city. I can't remember what city it is, but it pretty much instructed the character in the story to go and destroy everything because God couldn't see anybody who was righteous enough to live. It was.
I wouldn't at all be surprised if that was long. That would be long after the story of Sodom and Gomorrah happened, and that was where God leveled two entire cities,
and then
not to mention flooded the entire planet and left only one family alive. I mean, the Christian God killed a lot of people,
and we have a dove to tell us that it's going to be okay, everybody, with the rainbow.
Yeah, that's what they say. Thank you so much for the call tonight, Chuck. It's curious what these people actually believe, and of course they gloss over. They're like, well, we don't talk about that. But the reality is that that's exactly what the problem is. They don't talk about what the actual Bible actually says.
They pick and choose what they want to believe. They're like, see here, you know, a man is not supposed to lay with a man, but all the other stuff, I'm just going to ignore that stuff, and and every once in a while I'll post a Bible verse on Facebook, but only the ones that are, you know, nothing about God leveling cities or murdering people, just the nice, crunchy ones.
They won't even know about those most of the time. It's like, I didn't really know about the Bible verses about slavery until I started, until I was, 21, looking into, okay, do I really want to believe in Christianity anymore? I was just like, what? Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Right, because they don't talk about it in Sunday school, but
right.
Within the very same book of the Bible, which would be Leviticus or Deuteronomy, where it says, thou shalt not lie with a man as one does a woman, in that very same book, it has all sorts of passages about how you can't wear clothing made from two fabrics, like polyester.
Yeah.
That's forbidden. You're not allowed to wear that according to Christianity. And there's other examples like you have to remarry your sister's ex-wife or something. I don't know. There are some weird remarrying people when their husbands died and stuff going on in the Bible. And it's like none of that was optional. And I don't remember the specifics now because the book of Leviticus or Deuteronomy is literally just a bunch of thou shalt nots over and over. But it's very peculiar. And the part that says thou shalt not lie with the man as one does with the woman is like literally right beside that part about not wearing polyester. So you kind of got to go with both of them if you're going to go with any of them. But maybe we got all this wrong. Give us a call. Let us know. 603-283-6160. Don't leave us out here attacking Christianity and no one defending it. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA News update. The National Archives says it will not release information on President Biden's handling of classified documents until they can ensure it will not impact the special counsel's investigation. House Republicans on the Oversight Committee have requested all documents and communications regarding the files. The Archives says it must consult with the Justice Department before releasing the information to Congress. A district attorney in New Mexico will announce tomorrow whether charges will be filed against actor Alec Baldwin in the accidental shooting death of Helena Hutchins on the set of Rust. Baldwin struck and killed the cinematographer with an antique revolver during a dress rehearsal for the movie in 2021. Ukraine's interior minister says at least 17 others have been killed in the helicopter crash near a kindergarten in a suburb of Kyiv. No word on the cause of the crash that killed several children on the ground. Jeremy Scott, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and you are invited to join us, 603-283-6160, if you would like to do that. Again, that's 603-283-6160. I want to say thank you to, I believe that's supposed to be AEC, the Quaker Anarchist. Sorry if I'm not pronouncing it. It's A-E-E-C-E-E. So I'm assuming AEC. I don't know. Sorry, I'm going to call you the Quaker Anarchist. Sorry if I'm butchering that. That's tonight's amplifier, and that means the Quaker Anarchist is a member of the AMPS program. You can find it at amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon, because unlike you may have noticed that there's a conspicuous lack of advertising on Free Talk Live. And there's multiple reasons for that. It's not like, oh my God, they can't find advertisers or anything like that. No, there's just not any effort being put into it, because like that's... We wouldn't turn down advertisers, obviously.
Well, we would if there's, like, a product we don't like.
Because we certainly have done
happened.
That. But we're not, like, explicitly turning away all advertisers saying, no, no more advertising. But that's not the direction that seems to be where we want to go. We want to be directly supported by the listeners. And I think that's a better way to do it, because then you're not beholden to anyone. We don't have to worry about how many people we got to sign up for NordVPN or whatever. We don't have to worry about... This video is brought to you by blah, blah, blah. We don't have to do any of that. We just have to put out the content that our listeners want, and that's doing the show 7 nights a week. Like, we got that one in the bag. We got that one covered, man. You don't have to worry about it. We're going to be here every single day doing the show live, and there'll be a podcast every single night.
Yep, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you like it, and you want to join the AMPS program. But the issue with advertising is we talked about extensively here, and as I continue to rail against it, because the more I think about the advertising model, the more I'm convinced that it just cannot work. and the system as it's set up now, it became, I understand what they were thinking when it became this focused, this targeted on, oh, this person likes Metallica and Mudvayne, let's show them this advertisement for the new Metallica album. I understand how it got to that point and what they were thinking. You think, okay, well, we know this person likes music, so let's advertise 50 different concerts to them, and maybe they'll buy one of these tickets. But if you know, oh, this person likes rock music, then you're not going to waste time advertising to them Taylor Swift concerts or whatever. So the more you know about them, the better your advertising can be. But somewhere along the way, it became too focused. The algorithms broke. And I'm not in the interest of fixing these algorithms, and I don't know that they can be. But now the only way I'm ever going to be advertised about this Metallica tour that's going on is once I've already learned about it and I've looked up tickets to it, which I did do. And I said, no, thank you. I've seen Metallica live twice. And I held out three fingers. It's really only twice. And they were fantastic shows. I've also heard their new song, and I'm not particularly impressed. I mean, yeah, it's good. It's Metallica, but Metallica was never really a very good band, and they're still not a very good band. They're a progressive metal band, and I realized this only very recently, and I never really gave it any thought, but most of their albums are bad. And
is it because you're a Megadeth fan? Is that what it is?
No, not at all. But I do find what Dave Mustaine did to be far more impressive than Metallica did, right? Like, here's the guy who gets kicked out of this metal band that goes on to become the biggest metal band in the world. And he goes, well, screw you guys. I'm going to start my own hugely popular metal band, and we're going to be second place. And we're going to rival you guys for being the best. And he did that.
Yeah.
Right? The odds of one person being in a metal band that becomes successful are extremely low.
Yeah, for somebody that cried a lot about Metallica ruining his life, he certainly did well for himself.
What?
But he made Megadeth?
Yes.
Yeah.
Captain actually showed me a Megadeth album recently that's a new one. And I like them more than Metallica.
They went Christian, Megadeth did.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Dave Mustaine is a hardcore Christian now.
You didn't tell by the lyrics or anything.
No.
I didn't hear Jesus or anything in there.
No.
Hallelujah.
The good ones you can't tell. Lacey Sturm is probably one of my favorite singers today. She was the singer from Flyleaf. Flyleaf, not a very impressive band. Really weak musically.
I liked their popular music. It's not like I listened to whole albums.
Well, musically, they were not very good, right? But their singer, Lacey Sturm, was phenomenal. One of the best I've ever heard. And I never gave them any thought because the music's so bad. Until one day I was listening to Spotify and it played one of her solo songs. And it was banging, man. I had rarely heard anything that was just that tight, that put together with that much vocal power behind it. It was called Rot. And I had never heard anything like it. And I was like, man, this singer sounds familiar. So I went and the name Lacey Sturm didn't seem familiar to me. So I was like, okay. So I found the solo album and I started listening. I went all the way through the album and a lot of it became, you know, in my liked tracks because it's fantastic stuff. And I was talking to about a friend that he goes, yeah, that's the singer from Flyleaf. I was like, what? There's no way. Cause Flyleaf is also a Christian band.
All the Christian teenage kids liked Flyleaf.
Yeah, and it's very obvious when you listen to Flyleaf.
And Skillet.
Yeah, Skillet's got better musicians in it than the singer / drummer from Skillet. That's the girl.
Yep.
Super impressive. I knew she was a singer and I knew that she played violin, but I did not know she was also a drummer. And I didn't know this until I saw them at Louder Than Life when this chick, no kidding, was playing drums while singing. And I don't know if anyone out there has ever bothered trying to play drums, but it's not super easy to do. And if you're also trying to sing while doing it, that takes a level of coordination that is unbelievably impressive.
Like Karen Carpenter.
I don't know who that is.
You probably don't. It's like an older, like, soft rock, classic rock band, The Carpenters. You would probably hate it. But she's a really, really good drummer. Well, she's a good drummer, but she can also sing while playing the drums, which is impressive.
That seems crazy, because, I don't know, some people probably think singing is like, oh, it's so easy, it's just like talking or something. But singing actually takes, you know, like, your brain is working on where to go next and stuff, and then your brain's working on where to put your hands next. That sounds difficult.
Yeah, and it's possible to have all of this be like second nature, right? Like, if I practice a song, if I practice talking while playing a particular song, then I'd be able to carry on a conversation just fine while doing that. But if I'm just playing the guitar and I'm trying to carry on a conversation with somebody, either what I'm saying is going to be tremendously stupid, which, to be fair, probably wouldn't be that new, or what I play is going to sound horrible. So a lot of these musicians, they are impressive. And to bring this all back, Lacey Stern was tremendously impressive. And some of her lyrics, like especially in the song Rock, where she says, "Oh my God, save my soul," it sounds really awesome. Until I learned that she was saying that from a Christian perspective, and I was like, well, that's not as cool, right?
That's not rock and roll, man.
No, it's still rock and roll, and it's still good, but it's not as cool. Like, having a non-religious person or a Satanist or something invoking the imagery of God and souls and saying, save my soul in that context, that's awesome. But a Christian doing it is like, oh, you like, meant that. That's not cool. That's not funny. That's not clever. It's still a great song, and I still like Lacey Stern, but... It's sort of, then you get into the weird Christmas stuff, right, where she's got this other song, it's not Fully Alive, it's the other one, where she's, a lot of her songs talk about being alive.
I love Fully Alive, that's the one I was trying to remember.
All Around Me was the other one.
And oh wait, that's the one I love, I love both of them.
In that one she's like, I feel you dancing behind, my tongue dances behind my lips, whatever, and it's like, she's singing about God,
yeah,
and that sounds really weird, right? Like, you get that, Eric Cartman made fun of this in a South Park episode about how you can take the word God in some of these and replace it with, you know,
like
baby,
yeah,
or whatever gender-neutral term you want, and it becomes romantic, and it's weird.
Yeah. The
it's weird,
record
right?
execs are like, it sounds like you really love Jesus, and he's like, don't you? And they're like, yeah, I do too. Of course I do.
And he really loved Jesus. That's one of my favorite episodes, man, because like, he does end up getting struck by lightning by God at the end of that. Like, he had it coming, but if you've never seen it, you got to watch it. South Park's fantastic. But let's go to the phones. We have Perry on the line. Perry, you're on Free Talk Live. Are you with us, Perry? You are, but I hit the wrong button. So hold on one second. This is why I don't use the actual phone. Perry, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you very much. Incidentally, I was introduced into the Libertarian Party in 1979 by my cousin. Individual
freedom. Wow, that's OG, man.
Like the others. Okay, I'm live and let live. I believe that gay people are born that way anyway. I believe. And we should.
I don't know if I believe it or not, man.
I just believe that way. But anyway, I also believe, you know, whatever color you're born, you don't have any say so in it. You know what I mean? In other words, there shouldn't be racism or anything. If we go by what God believes in, we should all live and let live anyway. But
certainly.
Anyway, but the point I want to make is, in America right now, we got too many students getting out that don't know how to read or write. We don't need to have drag people going into schools. We need to start teaching them how great America is.
What makes America great?
After us, that are going to destroy this country. I'm telling you.
Hold on, Perry. What is it that makes America great?
Well, there's a lot of things that make this great, but let me.
Well, it's clearly not the education system, right?
Well, no. Right here in Arizona, for instance, the new governor, the money follows the student. Right now, she wants to stop that. Her name's Hobbs. She's very evil. In other words, let's say you want to put your child in a charter school or homeschool.
So public schools make America great? Am I understanding? Perry, you're not having a conversation with us. Is that correct, that the public school system is what you're saying makes America great?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that...
Well, that's what I want to know.
You should have a choice where you want to put your child. Like, the money was following the child. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, we have school choice here in New Hampshire as well as that. There's a school voucher program that they just set up where you can get some amount of money and you can use it to send your kid to a private school if you want. And, you know, that's a good thing in all of that. But you mentioned stuff about, you know, we're going to destroy America and we have to keep America great, or however it was you phrased it. And I'm just curious.
Indoctrinating, they got this climate change agenda that...
Well, shouldn't the point be not to teach them...
There's a lot of hoaxes going on. I'm just saying, there's a lot of hoaxes going on.
I agree, though. There are lots of hoaxes and propaganda being brought in through public school. Why is so many libertarians' solution to that to teach them something else instead of focusing on, let's get rid of public schools? It's like, focus on the cause, not the effects, you know?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, can I mention something real fast before you hang up on me, please?
Yeah.
Can I make something?
I guess, but you didn't really have a conversation with us.
The shots for the COVID, I think if they kill off within 5 years elderly people for like 20, even 20% of them, they're going to save a heck of a lot of money. And I think that that might be part of the reason. Like,
yeah, maybe, man. I'm putting you on hold, though. Thank you so much for the call tonight. It's frustrating when you just want to talk at us and not hear anything that we have to say. And when we counter your points, you just shift the subject entirely to something completely different. I mean, we could talk about COVID shots sometimes, certainly. But we would like to actually have a dialogue and be able to ask you questions about what you believe and actually have you answer those things instead of just talking over us or just ignoring us entirely. Like, you called about the public school system, and there's certainly a lot to discuss there. But you mentioned a lot, like America being great and they're corrupting our kids and teaching them all this other stuff. And as Bonnie pointed out, the better solution is to just keep your kids out of public school, get rid of the system.
And that's why I don't really care that much when New Hampshire people talk about, well, they're doing drag queen story hours in school. Well, in New Hampshire, if anybody's kids are in school, it's basically 100% voluntary at this point.
Absolutely. Let's keep going with the phones. We have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Oh, man, you got us on speakerphone or something like that. If you can get us off of speakerphone, I can flip back over in just a moment. Are you still with us?
Still with us.
No, but he's still got us on speakerphone or something.
The radio on or something.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. That's frustrating. So you got to take us off speakerphone or doing whatever it was that you were doing if you want to have a conversation with us. So anyway, yeah, we were talking about Christianity prior to this, and I don't know exactly how we got into it or how we can really circle back to it, but I didn't have anything pulled up in front of me at this exact moment. But it's frustrating to me as someone who used to be a Christian that I'm expected to know so much more about Christianity, because I would characterize myself primarily as an atheist now. We have the caller on the line again, so let me flip over to see if there's a caller. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, what's on your mind tonight?
The COVID thing. I hate to change the subject on you, but it's kind of important. I didn't know if you were aware that the United States is not allowed to do lab tests on people before and after they get the shot, you know, to compare. But some other countries did, and one is Thailand, where they took a large group of children and that didn't have a vaccine, and then they tested them for heart conditions, and then after the vaccines they tested them, and they found that 29.24%, that's almost 30% of the kids, had abnormal biomarkers, heart markers after the second shot.
Wow, that's a huge percentage.
What?
I said that's a huge percentage.
Yes, it is. And in Puerto Rico, they did a study of 8 to 84-year-olds, and they showed a 70% objective signs of cardiac injury after the vax. And the reason I bring these two studies up is I just learned that the Federal Aviation Administration made a major change in the pilot's with heart damage, and it used to be that they had a limit of like a damage estimates. They do some kind of test, and there's like a PR, measures heart function, and they used to accept 0.12 to 0.20.
So this is basically some level, some likelihood assessment of a pilot having a heart attack or some kind of heart failure, essentially,
right,
is what this number is.
Yes, and so 0.12 to 0.20. But on October 24th of last year, just a couple months ago, they increased it to 0.30 and potentially even higher. So this accommodates people who have had cardiac injury. Now, United company, the airline company, they have like a 96% vax rate, and Delta didn't mandate it, but they still had an 85% vax rate. And what I'm looking at is, why did they do that? Why did they do it quietly? Are these pilots getting injured by their shots?
What would be a good reason to allow more heart failure into pilotry, you know, pilots?
Well, in regard to pilots, I don't know, but in general, airlines are short-staffed. Everyone is short-staffed, and I still don't fully understand how everyone can be short-staffed at once. To me, that doesn't make sense logistically. Like, where did all the people go? And the conspiracy theorist in me is like, well, obviously, they died. COVID-19 killed them. But that doesn't fit with what I have observed throughout COVID-19. But that I like that conspiracy better because it makes more sense with what I'm actually observing on the ground, which is a noticeable lack of bodies to work in places. But bodies weren't piling up in the streets, so I don't know.
People weren't, like, Instagram influencers, you know, as much, like, before COVID. People didn't go home and start getting money off TikTok.
I wonder how many people are actually successful at doing that, though.
I think it's down right now.
Really?
Thank you so much for the call tonight.
Maybe
I actually didn't get your name, but thank you so
definitely
much for the call. Interesting discussions. But yeah, I watch some streamers. I don't generally watch them when they're streaming because I have a schedule. It's just like I understand people who don't watch Free Talk Live when we're live, right? Because you have a schedule. So you watch it, we stream, and then you watch us when it's convenient for you. That's how I am with some of these streamers. And, you know, their older videos you see constantly just, this person donated $5 with Super Chat. This person donated $10. This person gifted 15 memberships or whatever to people. And they just come in regularly. But if you watch the more recent videos for the last year, the number of donations is noticeably down.
Because
but
people don't have the money.
That's just like the direct donations from their viewership type thing. But one thing I thought I've noticed that I've seen more of these people than ever in my life, I feel like, is people who just record their lives on Snapchat all day. And then, like, once a day, they'll be like, hey, everyone, I get this question all the time. How are my teeth so white? It's Purely White Deluxe. And that's just, every single one of them does that every single day. They'll just record, this is what I'm eating. Hey, I just want to talk to you guys about this. And then all of a sudden, so out of place, they start talking about Purely White Deluxe because those people pay them. They're basically, they just record their lives. And some people could find it really boring, but some people are just like, I don't know, it's like therapeutic to watch other people live their lives.
A lot of people do that on Instagram as well, where they'll do what you're saying, where they record their lives or post pictures, selfies, whatever it might be, whatever content people like, and then they'll do a lot of those, like, promotion type things.
But yeah, those things are generally per acquisition, right? Like, they have a special link or whatever. Use my coupon code or whatever, REUP20, to get 20% off. And the point of that is that the company knows that they are there buying it because of your fans. So they attribute it to you and they give you a percentage of it.
I just find it hard to believe that some of these people could make an entire living doing this.
I don't think they
do. I follow some YouTubers who have millions of followers and they literally fund their entire lifestyle and they're not skimping anymore. I follow these people on YouTube, Kara and Nate, and when they first started traveling and making YouTube videos, you could tell they were on a strict budget. But now you can tell they have nicer equipment. They've been open about, like, hey, guys, now we're making a lot more money. They're just candid about it. And they do these same sort of things where they'll maybe do, like, two or three in a video. So it seems like some people are actually able to make a decent living doing this. But I just think that would be the minority. I can't really see thousands of people. You know, I would think you would need...
Well, we don't know exactly how they're making their money. Based on my experience, I don't think they're making it from these direct advertisements. I think it's got to be from direct viewer support, like Patreon and YouTube memberships and Super Chats and stuff. I don't know that.
The thing that's weird about the Snapchat thing is, like, there used to be, like, two that were really big, and then, like, other than that, you'd just see, like, celebrity gossip. Now it's like, who the heck is this random person that looks like it could be any high schooler in any small town, and they have, like, millions of viewers watching them, and they have the Purely White Deluxe thing too, and it's just like, why? I don't know. I've just never seen so many of these, like, completely normal looking people who were famous. I don't know. That's just, it seems like a COVID thing to me. Like, people went home and just got completely bored and made their, you know, started recording everything about their lives, and then people started following them. I follow some of them because it's just like, literally, like I said, like, sometimes when I'm like, I don't know, like, stressed out or something, just watching this girl do her skincare is, like, therapeutic. And I have been watching way less YouTube because of it.
Well, you mentioned being famous. I think being famous as an idea has really changed over the last several years since the rise of YouTube and stuff like that. Having millions of followers, I don't think it makes anyone famous anymore.
Yeah, especially on TikTok. You can have, like, one of my ex-best friend's ex-boyfriends had 10,000 followers on TikTok, and I remember being like, He's not like famous dude. Like, chill out.
No, 10,000 followers is meaningless.
Nothing.
Right? You
TikTok.
You can pay $20 for that and get some Chinese company to get you that many followers,
yeah.
just from bots, I guess.
Hmm.
But it's certainly, you got to have millions upon millions of, like, PewDiePie is probably one of the most popular, successful YouTubers out there. None of us would, I wouldn't know this guy if I saw him on the street.
No, yeah, yeah, and I've seen his videos, I know what he looks like, but yeah, if I saw him in Keen, I wouldn't be like, oh my god, it's PewDiePie, I wouldn't even recognize him at first.
You know? I think I would, I haven't watched that much PewDiePie, I don't know, I just think I would. But maybe not
but
most
even,
of them.
And that's just the most popular one. There's countless others. Like, the guy I watch is called Ryukar, and he's maybe got a million subscribers at the most, and no one would recognize this
guy.
I
never heard of him.
But they all have merchandise, right? It's like, go buy my T-shirt or my coffee mug or whatever. It's like, dude, who would buy your stuff, right? Okay, how cringe would it be for me to have a website store and people are like, go buy this cup with the Aria logo on it, right?
I'd buy it.
I was just laughing because I thought you were going to say with you with the Riordan guy or whatever. Or, I don't know. What is the YouTuber just said?
The Ryukar?
Ryukar, like if you just had like a shirt with it. I don't know, because that's what
that
I always think.
That would also be weird, right?
I always think that's so weird.
He has shirts that people can buy, but like I have to wonder who's out there buying these shirts. And I'm not part of this culture that wants to rep your favorite YouTube guy. Is that
and
what we're dealing with here?
Who is? Like, I don't know anybody that walks around with Shane Dawson.
I bought an Amelia Earhart shirt. She's a car girl.
Yeah, I thought she was the pilot.
I was going to say, I thought that was pilot.
So I think I
might
said
have the same name.
Amelia Hartford is her name. I'm like,
but my best guess is that there is this thing among people somewhat younger than me, I'm assuming, where they want to rep the merchandise of some of their favorite people, whereas I see Ryukar, I'm like, yeah, he produces content that I like, and that's pretty much the end of it. But they're like, yeah, I'm a fan. I have his T-shirt and his mug, and even if no one else ever recognizes them, they know that they're in this elite, maybe not elite, but in their minds it's probably elite. They're in this elite club, and it's because they're part of this audience. Maybe it has a lot to do with that. What's the word I'm looking for? Where relationships are one way?
Parasocial.
Yeah, maybe it has a lot to do with these parasocial relationships, where they feel like if they buy this person's merchandise, then they're somehow their friends.
One thing I didn't think about is, like, you know, like Lady Gaga merchandise. I wouldn't find that weird, or like Megadeth or whatever. I wouldn't find that weird, but it's the YouTube specifically.
603-283-6160. You can join us. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.